Welcome to the Where Rural Matters podcast, the official podcast of the Texas Rural Education Association. Here, we spotlight the people, policies, and programs making a difference in rural schools across Texas. TREA, Where Rural Matters.
Well, hello, and welcome to this edition of Where Rural Matters podcast with TREA. I'm Bill Tarleton, Executive Director of Texas Rural Education Association. And I have with me this afternoon a couple of guys. Got Dr. Brandon Enos, Superintendent at Cushing. He is also our legislative chair. And we have Ty Stevens from Miles ISD. He is superintendent there, and he is also on our legislative committee. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
This afternoon, we're just going to, this is June 11th, and the session ended 9 days ago. So what we are going to give you is not advice. We are going to give you an update on House Bill 2, and going to talk a little bit about House Bill 4, which did not pass, but House Bill 2 did. And rules have not been written. It's a huge bill, 200 and something pages. So this is not advice. This is just simply giving you an update on we know it as of today. And those rules and all will be written later as it is after it is signed in to law. So thank you for joining us. And I want to start with Brandon. Brandon, start us off and let us know what you're going to talk about today.
Well, thank you, Bill. Just real quick, I do want to mention that the House Bill 2 was signed and it is effective immediately because it has all of the required votes and such. So
that's right.
Discussing here for HB2 will go into effect as soon as rules are written, and there'll be more information to come out from various organizations, including TREA, over the next few months as rules are decided by the TEA or the comptroller in regards to HB2. So with that, we're going to discuss about five parts of HB2 together, Ty and I will. And then we'll delve into, as was said, House Bill 4, why it failed, and what we can look forward to in the 90th session with testing and accountability. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Ty so he can give us the overview of HB 2, and I'll just fill in wherever he may not have explained as much as I think he should have, or where we think he'll have some questions. Take it away, Ty.
All right. So House Bill 2, it is labeled as the largest public education investment in Texas history, which that is about $8.5 billion of money that they have set aside. That includes some teacher pay raises. And that is the pay raises are mainly for teachers that are that have 3 years of experience, 3 to 4 years of experience, get $4,000 for small schools and then $8,000 for larger schools or not larger schools for 5 years. But in that there are many things that are involved in that. That consists of about $4.2 billion. And then there is a $1.3 billion new allotment, which is called the ABC allotment. And that is to help with different things like insurance costs, insurance premiums, TRS costs, and utilities. Then they, on top of that, they've also included about $2.2 billion in special ed funds, and they're reworking how it is going to a tiered system of services. And I may not be saying that right, but it's changing how they are formulating how we are funded in special ed. And that is that will not really go into effect till 26-27. It'll take them a year to write all of that out and figure all of that out. We have gained about 3 million in small and mid-sized schools, which they've adjusted the multiplier for both of those. And for small schools, I know the small schools is 0.00046. It's up about, it increased it by just a little bit. I'm not sure about the mid-size. then we have 430 million for school safety. And that 430 million, that really, doubles our allotment that we were getting. We used to get $15,000. Now we're getting $30,000 per campus. And then it also adds, I believe it's up to about $20 per kid. Is that correct, Brendan?
That is correct. I do want to mention that if you're calculating your own increases, then it is $20 per ADA, not per student enrolled, for the safety.
Yes.
And $33,540 per campus. So you can quickly do your own numbers. I do want to mention that that mid-size adjustment allotment for a little bit larger schools in TREA is up from three thousandths of a penny to is up to that from 0.00025. So it doesn't sound like much, but whenever you calculate it out, it's a few $100,000 per district. So that's substantial. And that ABC allotment is equated to an enrolled student number of $106 per enrolled student, not attendance. So you can easily calculate what you should be getting for those amounts. Go ahead.
All right. So that there are some additional, there is a lot in House Bill 2, and a lot of it has to do with teacher incentive allotment, how they're adding some things to that. They're adding an additional tier in that to an acknowledged teacher, and they've kind of adjusted some of the weighting on how that's funded, and it's funded all the way up to a master teacher. They've adjusted some of those weightings. That also leads to there's a new thing coming out called the Enhanced TIA Plan, which I believe the commissioner today was at the TIA conference, and he was talking about how he is going to roll that out. My special programs director's there and listening to that. Then we also have some other things like teacher prep that is in there. Currently, the way that we do it is student teachers come in, they don't get paid. We here in Miles have actually been part of a strategic staffing grant, which kind of models what they've put in House Bill 2 about paying student teachers to come in, like we pay them $10,000 to be a student teacher. And that looks like that's the new way that they're going to start this teacher prep part. What do you have to add, Brendan?
Yeah, I'll add just to that. The teacher prep is going to be very beneficial, especially for teachers that you currently have in your district. They've been working a few years on finishing the preparation program. There will be some additional money just for those to get them across the finish line, which I did like to see that. That way we can reach that 2030 goal of having every one of our teachers certified. And that's also mentioned throughout this bill of that 2030 target date. So keep that on your radar. As something that is going to be likely enforced come next session. I do want to circle back to the teacher incentive allotment real quick to give our listeners some hard numbers. If you're like me, you just want to quickly figure out how it's going to affect each teacher incentive allotment recipient that you currently have at your school. So you can see some increases in the weights besides the new acknowledged designation and separating off the National Board Certified Teachers from the recognized and making them their own. Those two will be funded at $3,000 to $9,000 per teacher per year, depending on where it is they're teaching and what the demographics of that school look like. And then the next level up is recognized, which used to be the bottom level. That's going to be up from $3,000 to $5,000 to a maximum of $15,000, which used to be the max of $9,000. So you can see how that went up significantly, about $6,000 at the top end. And again, these are based on the socioeconomics of the campus the teacher who's designated works at. That's why these ranges are here. The second to top level is now exemplary, and that's $9,000 on bottom, up from $6,000, up to $25,000, up from $18,000. You can see that went up $7,000 at the top. And then the master teachers, the very best teachers we have, the minimum is now $12,000, and the max is up to $36,000 from $32,000. So you can see how more money per teacher was put into teacher incentive allotment. So if you have a 5+ year teacher at a small rural district that has high socioeconomic status, and they are labeled as any one of these teacher incentive allotment teachers, you can see how quickly they can, after this session is over, be significantly making more money. And I think that was the intent behind targeting these funds where they did, Ty.
Yes. I want to go back to the teacher retention allotment and kind of explain some of that. The teacher retention allotment, they define a teacher as teaching four or more periods a day. And so we're going to have to go and look at all of our teachers and make sure they're teaching four classes. And though that is how they're going to determine whether they get those raises or not. And then they also have a support staff retention allotment, which is $45. What is that? 45 multiplied by
per ADA.
Per ADA.
On the average daily attendance.
Yes, and that is anything except administrators. So you can't pay your assistant principals or your principals with that. But you can pay your counselors, librarians, nurses, aides, custodial staff, food service, bus drivers, secretaries, those people can get that. That is a very, very small amount for the amount of people that you have to provide increases to, or correct, at least in my district it is.
It isn't most of ours, just the way we are. We're staffed by about 50% of our staff make up this group. And at $45 times ADA for Cushing, that's about $22,000 divided over 50 people. It's that's about a $700 raise per year per staff member. It's not significant, but you can do more than that. But this much at a minimum has to go to those people.
Yes.
So, Ty, I have a question on your on the allotment. And a teacher to receive that has to teach four or more periods a day. Do we know yet, or is this yet to be seen with the rules that are written? What about instructional coaches or other certified teachers that might be working in several classrooms, but they might not? Are they typically the teacher of record for four classes, or is that yet to be determined?
So in my school district, they are not the teacher of record. And so that is a concern to me on how we are going to get them the pay raise that they deserve because they don't meet that four period requirement. So it is my understanding, and I could be wrong, it's my understanding that those are excluded from getting that pay raise through this teacher retention allotment.
Although they're actually in the classroom more than four or more periods a day. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the way I understand it.
I'll just clarify on that. As of June 11th at 1:18 p.m., the PEA has said clearly that those people that you just described, Bill, those individuals who mean the world to us, have stepped outside of the traditional teaching role to take on more responsibility usually, and they are not included in this targeted teacher pay raise initiative through what we're calling the teacher retention. Right. And so what most districts are having to do is figure out through the ABC, which is that allotment for basic costs, or through the mid-size school adjustment allotment for most of us, we're fortunate to get that, how we can take care of those individuals besides what the state's doing.
But that's not in the bill.
Correct. It's not. No. So most of us will have counselors, instructional coaches, instructional support staff. There's probably other positions I'm not thinking of right now. Diagnosticians, speech pathologists, people who've left the classroom and they've decided to get more schooling and take on more responsibility. And they will, in a lot of our districts, make less money than the classroom teacher.
So will most of those teacher staff that you just mentioned, or will any of them be eligible to receive the TIA funds? How does that work?
Oh, I can speak to that. That every district creates their own designation plan, and every school district gets to decide which teachers within their district can designate.
Okay.
Once you've designated, you have it for 5 years. In House Bill 2, it does talk about how you're going to have to do something different with a national board certification and do that annually starting in June of 2026. So keep that in mind if you have teachers who've designated through national board certification. But the rest of them are a five-year designation. And once you have it, you can take that with you to any district, even if they don't designate themselves. And you can still be paid out at the district at which you're working at, not where you earn the designation. So it's important that every teacher who wants to earn a designation goes to work for a school district that is able to issue a designation. in the area in which they teach.
And in the TIA, they have to be labeled in PEAMS as an 087 employee.
Correct. That just means classroom teacher for those that don't know the PEAMS role.
Yes. So they're considered a classroom teacher for TIA purposes, but they're not considered a classroom teacher for teacher retention allotment, like the interventionist and people like that that you're talking about.
Wow. Interesting. Confusing and interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of ripples to this. And I do want to, before we move on, I do want to say so that everybody listening, if you're not catching all this, or maybe in 10 days when we're sitting down at the conference on in the Kalahari, you're there at TREA this year, you're thinking, what has changed? What's new? Well, we'll go over all this with new updates, plus a lot more information. On June the 24th, that's a Tuesday, and that session starts at 11:25, and it's in the Cypress Room. Wherever that is at the Kalahari, there'll be maps. You find yourself there on that Tuesday at 11:25, and be ready, because we're going to start right on time, because we'll have about half an hour or so to cover about a dozen bills as quick as we can, and we'll have a panel there of people who know a lot about these bills and can help us make heads and tails of them. Right. So that's there. Make sure you don't miss that session if you're interested in getting the latest and greatest as of June 24th.
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's a lot to two, and we could keep talking about two, but instead, with the last few minutes we have, I do want to just speak to assessment accountability and where we are with that right now, Bill.
Yes, please.
So back in December of 24, we were contacted and told that we were going to start having a seat at the table whenever this legislative session was preparing an accountability and assessment bill. And true to their word, we were then recontacted by Chairman Buckley's office. He's the House Chair for the Public Ed Committee. And he contacted me and six other superintendents across the state of Texas. And we all met with Chairman Buckley and Speaker Burroughs. And we worked diligently to craft a bill, which would ultimately become the House version of House Bill 4, that would truly transform public education assessment and, by default, the accountability system, because the accountability system is so dependent upon the assessment we take. And so to be clear, the assessment would have been three times a year under the House bill, but it would have been a formative, adaptive, nationally norm reference test, similar to what you're used to giving with iReady, with Renaissance Star, or with MAP testing. So very similar to that, where you get the results within a few hours at the latest the next day, and you can start intervening right away. The parents can know where their child is, the teacher can, the student can, and there's no behind the scenes recalculation of scores. That was really big for us in the committee, as we wanted to make sure TEA could back away from the test creating business, because they're already the judge and the jury. We don't need them developing the system as well. So it was a really, really good effort. We did everything we needed to along the way. Every time the Senate or the Lieutenant Governor would give us another parameter that we couldn't overstep, we would scale back and change. And that bill, when it was all said and done, exited the House on its way to the Senate 143-1.
Yes.
It had almost unanimous support going over to the Senate. But yes, unfortunately, the Senate, they want to keep TEA involved heavily. They want to make sure our commissioner is involved in test writing and test developing and testing and making sure that he's in charge of the oversight when we fail said step, the test. So with all that said, we couldn't get the needle moved enough to where we as an organization felt like what we were going to get with the Senate version was simply three star tests with a different name. And we did not want that for the member ISDs in TREA. And I want to be very clear about that. Had it been overall a good bill, then the support of TREA would have been fully behind it. But unfortunately, it would have just been called compass testing, and it would have been 3-star tests throughout the years, similar to what we already have when we piloted TTAP over the last few years. And we all know what a disaster that has been. That's what it would have essentially become. And I do want to promise this. TREA and the House members and a few of the senators that we had their ears all agree that we're going to start back in the 90th session early, and we're going to hit the ground running with assessment reform, meaningful assessment reform, so that our accountability system could be more than just one test, one day on something that is so ambiguous and mistrusted by all of us.
So do you see like using the original House Bill 4 that went from the House to the Senate, do you see that as the building block for what's going to happen in the 90th legislative session?
Nobody's promised that, Ty, and I don't want to misspeak. I would love to see that, because although we gave a lot of concessions to make that bill through the House, because again, the whole time we were talking to the counterparts over at the Senate, it wasn't like they weren't aware of what the House was doing. And every time we would be told, we can't do this because it won't clear K-16, which is the Senate side, or we can't do this one thing we wanted to try because the Lieutenant Governor is mandating that we keep EOCs. For example, EOCs were untouchable. And we were told that about a month in, because we were told that the Lieutenant Governor didn't want end of course exams to be changed at all. They were going to say essentially star tests.
So were they going to reduce the number of EOCs to 3, or was it going to remain at 5?
It was going to be reduced to 3 under House Bill 4, the House side of it.
Okay.
Under the Senate bill, it was going to stay at 5. It was going to be 3 times a year, and it was going to that we were not going to get our value-added measures that we included, those 5 indicators to help our 3rd through 8th grade scores be about more than just a test. Those were going to go away. So there were so many things we weren't getting, Ty. And that's why for the few little things we got in the Senate version of House Bill 4, we decided it wasn't worth it, because assessment reform only comes about every 8 to 10 years. So if we take a bad bill now, how long is it going to be until we can actually get out from underneath a bad assessment?
And also tied to your question, Brad Owen at Burke Bennett ISD and the Red River superintendents up there back in 24, early 24, if I'm not mistaken, they were proposing a new assessment and accountability system, mostly accountability system. And Brad was on that committee with Brandon. So he was one of the 7 superintendents. I don't know how much of that, you know, what it looked like compared to House Bill 4, but it was at least a start and a starting block. And I appreciate Buckley, Chairman Buckley, including Brad on that. Brad's also, Burke Burnett's also a TREA member. But, and then one last thing about the Senate hearing, that was it started on a Tuesday morning. And Brandon, the Dallas superintendent, and Forney superintendent, were the 3 that I recall that were still there at 2 in the morning, Wednesday morning, when they finally got around to their testimony on the Senate side. And they did an amazing job. But TREA has been very well represented through Brandon on this process, and Brad throughout this process as well. And we appreciate what they've done. As a former special ed director, I think this would have been this was the only right thing to do, the House Bill version, for special ed students. They're already tested. They have a battery of tests every 3 years anyway, with their testing results reviewed every year. Then they have to do STAR. Then they're going to have to do STAR 3 times, along with our general ed kids. This is something that should have happened. It's unfortunate that it didn't. Our parents and students need reform. And so you can count on us to continue that fight.
Well, it was a very, very interesting legislative session. I'll end my comments for this podcast on this. There were a lot of proposed bills that almost passed that would have been detrimental to ISDs across Texas.
Right.
So not only are we going to try to get things like assessment accountability get the conversation going, we're going to go ahead and start preparing so that we can stand against some of those bad ideas that are going to start off being proposed in the 90th as well. And there's a slew of those, but I think this session is going to be defined by the $8.5 billion new money. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think we could have had more flexibility with it, but in the end of the day, it's still teacher pay raises, and who can argue with that? That's a good thing. And I think it'll also be defined by the things that could have passed that didn't. And so we can be ready to stand up against those things come 90th session.
Yes. And I would just encourage anybody listening to just go start talking to your representatives and senators now for the 90th legislative session that's coming up. Meet with them in their local place. You know, ours is in San Angelo. Meet with them there. Talk to them. Keep having the conversation with them over the next 2 years, because the new biennium will be here before we know it. And we don't want to be behind whenever we when we get to that time.
Wow. That's a good point. And I would say that sometimes elected officials listen more to other elected officials, such as board members, than they do staff members. And I don't know why that is, but sometimes that's just how it is. So you might consider that avenue as well. But also, I don't know if they don't pay attention, if they don't see it, but there's a lot of good things going on in your schools. And TREA schools are doing some wonderful things, and we're going to be highlighting some of those at the conference. But I, however you can encourage your representatives, your senators, to be a part of your school community, flipping a quarter at the ball game, just recognize them, not to bend their ear, but just include them so that they can somehow see what's going on at your schools, particularly our state senators. I don't know that they're seeing it. That's not our fault, but it may be up to us to try to get them to see it, because I know and see the great things going on at some of your schools, or some of the great things. I don't even see all of them, Ty's exactly right. We're going to have to get the word out and get them to pay attention to the great things going on in our schools.
That's right.
With that, any other closing comments, gentlemen?
No, I just thank you very much for the opportunity to serve TREA and all 400 plus of our member districts. We are so grateful for your continued support in TREA. So if you want more great things like this to continue, then stay members of TREA, stay active, attend the conference, and good things will happen for Texas public ed and rural schools.
I just want to say thank you for having me. I've enjoyed being part of this legislative council, and this is something that we're really passionate about. So thank you.
Thanks to both of you for doing that, and thanks for being here. And thanks to all of you listening to this podcast. And we appreciate everything that you do to support TREA. Thank you. Have a great day. You'll hear us next time. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Where Rural Matters podcast, brought to you by the Texas Rural Education Association. Stay connected. Stay informed, and keep advocating for rural education in Texas.